Give me a friend's session of prayer. Almighty and eternal Father, as again we come before thee to worship you in spirit and in truth, and as thy children acknowledge that thou art our Father, acknowledge our responsibility to thy instructions, our recognition that as thy children the earth we have an inheritance as well as a heritage, that we have a responsibility to develop thy kingdom and to build up the establishment of our family and household name, knowing that the whole family is in heaven and earth is named in thee, and that we are Christians, that we are thy children, we are of thy household, of thy race, and of the nations of thy kingdom, that you have a purpose to fulfill in the earth, and you are going to bring it to pass because thou art God, and that we are the instruments of thy hand, the children of thy family, which must carry forward this responsible destiny. So we pray as we survey the conditions in our environment and the situations which take place from day to day, that we shall be constantly adjusted to thy purposes to bring these things to pass for the well-being of thy household and for the development of thy kingdom in the earth. Cause us to recognize the signs which we see around about as it comes forth as the fulfillment of prophecy. Teach us, our Father, in this hour of the great crisis that exists throughout the world to have absolute faith in its outcome, to go forward courageously to discharge our obligation and our responsibility to bring into being this for which you have sent us into the world. So we pray for our nation tonight. We find it sailing its ship of state through stormy seas. We discover that there seems to be something inept at the helm. We pray, our Father, that you shall give unto us leadership, either by spiritually energizing such leadership as we have to do thy will, or remove it, O God. And give unto us those that will lift up the standard of thy kingdom so that thy children can stand and look the world in the face, not be confounded or ashamed, as thy scripture has promised it would so be. Give unto us those that will lead us in solid opposition to the enemy, recognizing his defeat is essential, and the liberty of all the peoples of earth can only come through the defeat of evil and the overthrow of communism and the powers of darkness. Grant our Father a quickening awakening throughout our nation. May all of the people of the nation come out of their sleep. May they all be right, extremely right before thee. And our Father, we pray thy blessing to rest upon an awakening people and a confusion upon those that would destroy, as you lift this nation again to a great hour of destiny in which it shall stand as the leaders among the people of thy kingdom for the hours of the great testing time. So as we commit ourselves to thy hand, we pray that thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And at this hour, when in the festivity and the heart and rejoicing of thy people, they are singing songs of praise and acknowledgement of the nativity of thy birth in the coming to earth to visit us and to carry out so great a redemption. May the great power and spirit of thy embodied presence so fill the festivities of this season that those that despise and hate the thing which thy word stands for and thy revelation stands for, may they leave our nation and may they seek the darkness where they wish to hide. We say thy will be done as we meditate upon thy truth and thy name. Amen. Tonight we are discussing something that is of vital interest to every intelligent student of world affairs, and surely must be of very vital interest to every American, because we are vitally concerned as to what's taking place inside of our nation and what it is that causes a lot of the problems through which we pass. We know that the powers of evil that seem today to be determined to destroy everything that is good throughout the world continually operate on the side of the left and in the field of world communism. At the same time, those who aid and abet it and seek to finance and direct the activities of the enemies of Christian civilization and world communism do not seem to be as far removed from their desire to control capital and to gain control of the symbols of wealth in this world as a communist should naturally be, according to his profession. In fact, very, very strangely, these in the ranks of the left wing seem to be most interested in capturing control of the gold and the silver and the wealth of the world as they use it in these symbols of wealth and power. They do not seem to be refuting or repudiating it or seeking merely the development of industries or of enterprise nearly as much as they seek to manipulate the wealth of the world and to gain control over it. There is, throughout the scriptures, many things which are mysteries. Jesus said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. To them it is not given." And when we speak thus, we are speaking about the children of the kingdom, the peoples of your race, the household which he called.
the sheep of his pasture, the lost sheep of the house of Israel, which he referred to, were none other than the sheep of his pasture. He was not talking about the Jews, as we discover when he said to the Jews on Solomon's porch, "Ye are not my sheep, as I said unto you." The great purpose of Christ was to bring knowledge and truth back to his own, to call his own by name, to lead them out and reestablish the great purpose which he had of building his kingdom upon righteousness and truth, without fear, without a guilt complex, without being pushed back, but being led forward by spirits of vision of victory. And so in the consummate work of his atonement, one of the things that Christ intended to accomplish and did accomplish by his purpose was the lifting of the guilt complex and the transgressions off of the back of his people. More than that, the coming of the Messiah had a very definite impact upon his household. He commissioned the spiritual center of his kingdom, his church, as a new living institution to carry out the objectives of being the oracle of the Most High in the midst of the people. And he sent his apostles very directly to the nations, especially to Western Europe, in order that the people of his household might be regathered, rechallenged, and carry forward the objective of building the kingdom that they had been sent to the world millenniums before to accomplish. So with this being the major purpose of God, we pray as he taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." We expressly remember that the Apostle Paul, who was apostle unto the church and to the nations of God's kingdom, said the Spirit expressly forbade me to go into Asia. Because if he had gone into Asia, he would not have found the peoples of the household, nor would the mission for which he had been sent as an apostle be accomplished. I think that it is important for us to know in the semantics of this book, among those mysteries, is the mystery of the organization of our enemies. Under varying different subjects, we have discussed from time to time the enemies of God's kingdom. They are also basically the enemies of our race, and you cannot separate tonight your racial self-respect, your racial destiny, and the nations of God's kingdom, which today have come out of that Adamic race, down through Seth and through the house of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob to this time. I think it becomes an important thing, even though this is not basically the subject tonight, but it must be added, that if a man is a student of the Scriptures, or if a person seeks to discover the facts about the peoples of the Bible and the racial history of those with whom it discusses, about whom it discusses its relationship, you will discover that there are no Jews anywhere in the world today that are the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, when we talk about the Israel of the Old Testament, we are talking about people who are not Jews, and it is only because of the hand of some Jews in translation that the word Jew even appears in the Old Testament at all, and that's only on several occasions. Of course, we realize that in the book of Esther, the word Jew is used several times, but the Jews wrote the book of Esther. The name of God does not appear once in the book of Esther, and it was only inserted, and they sought to gain its insertion among the Scriptures in order that they might justify the Feast of Purim and their murderous designs for not only revenge, but the destruction of all those that are obstacles in their way for the mastery of the world and the carrying out of their evil design. It's quite understandable, knowing their feasts of revenge and their design, why they are setting the date of April also for the execution of Eichmann. And that's a rather significant thing, since they set the great play of making a great world attentive fuss over the Eichmann case, and they brought up the sentencing around Christmas in order to see how much of the headlines they could capture. While this may seem apart and removed from this subject, I want you to know that these Jews are no chosen people of God for the destiny of his kingdom, because they do not belong to it. They have been behind every basic economic, political, and religious conspiracy against your race, against the kingdom of God throughout all the millenniums that you have lived here. I feel no sympathy whatsoever for the judgments that descend upon them for the crimes which they commit against the peoples of the world. They were in no position capable of judging any man, nor could they gather a Jewish court with Jewish judges that at any time could judge without prejudice anybody that sought to oppose at any time any of their evil conspiracies or their deeds. I might add tonight also to these remarks that we do not believe that this is Mr. Eichmann. We do not think Colonel Eichmann would be the man they now have, because Colonel Eichmann did not talk Hebrew, nor was this exactly his stature nor his proper height. And unless a lobotomy has been committed upon this man and he is operating in an entirely different concept with a transposed and hypnosis condition, this could not possibly be the man. We do not doubt for one moment that the Jews have kidnapped Mr. Eichmann and put him to death, because they also kidnapped several men before, murdering them, thinking they had received other officers of the German government. And they did this in territories of other nations for whom the Jews have no respect. I want this to go down, apart from this subject tonight. Organized Jewry do not respect the laws of other nations. They are an international group of outlaws who know no respect for any of the procedures of proper law. Had they done so, they would have extradited Mr. Eichmann out of Argentina into Israeli if they had any jurisdiction. Israeli knows that they had no jurisdiction in the Eichmann matter because they were not a nation during the periods of World War II. They did not come into being as a nation until after their abortive and massacring invasion of Palestine. After the tremendous impact of their vicious evil upon the Christians in Palestine and the Arabs of Palestine, which the white papers for which they killed Count Bernadotte to stop their being spread but did not accomplish their objective show. In fact, the violence, the vicious rape, and the assassination and murder that accompanied the entrance into Israeli or into Palestine of Israeli has been unprecedented in the history of the world. All the crimes they have heaped upon everybody else and claimed they committed against them, they were openly committing and with no pressure upon them to commit them because this was their nature. It is quite evident that almost all the evil that move out of these children of Satan start within their own imagination and are executed by them. But they challenge that everybody else has thus committed it. I think it is a matter of interest for you to know that another one of the high command in Germany was Bormann. Bormann was supposedly a resident somewhere in South America, believing that he had escaped the final encircling noose that transpired inside of Europe. One of the things which makes this important was that a man came into a doctor's office in South America, and when he came into the doctor's office, the doctor, who had many pictures supplied to him by his Jewish compatriots, thought he had Mr. Bormann. And so he called the local ADL to see what to do, and they said, you kill him, you slip him a needle in the course of treatment and kill him, and we'll send our officers and we'll take him out and bury him. And so the Jews did exactly that. This Jewish doctor gave a needle to the man he thought was Bormann and murdered him. Then they took him out to bury him, and they buried him. But they discovered a short time after that they didn't have the right man, and this was not Bormann. And so they did it again. And in the instance of several incidents, they have twice killed some innocent person who they thought was Bormann, but they did this in another country, and they carried it out with their own UGPU and their own agents. And the San Francisco Chronicle, which carried a story on the front page about how the Zionists and Jewry had killed a man for Bormann to discover he wasn't Bormann, but no comment on it, no criticism, it's just a commonplace news item, another businessman assassinated by Jewry and by Jewish doctors because the Jewish high commands throughout the world had said this man, if Bormann should be killed or anyone else who gets in their way, they demonstrate their ruthlessness to kill. I think it's time for every intelligent Christian American to know that if you ever go to a Jewish doctor, you're a very, very foolish person. If you're a patriot, you may get the needle too. And that is one of the things that should be avoided. And the best way to avoid it is don't go to a Jewish doctor, period. In fact, I think it's time that Christian Americans and Christian civilization recognize that this is a battle for survival, that all the hordes of world communism and all the conspiracy against our society are directed by these forces of evil, which are Satan's own offspring and which the Scripture has so carefully warned us against. You should never, under any circumstances, vote for the election of a Jew for any office in these United States. You should not purchase any product that you can buy anywhere else that you have to have from any individual who is a Jew in these United States. You should make a closed circuit, become stronger to buy Christian, vote Christian, and see that no one is employed by you who is not a Christian. If they don't like that policy, let them go to Israeli to employ themselves. We have reached a point where these things become more and more serious. I want to say that the evidences that were brought into the Eichmann trial, and we mentioned it since they tried to eclipse this period of the year with this news, were evidences which everyone knows is factious and fraudulent. The claim of the death of 6 million Jews was totally impossible since more than that number evacuated Europe and came to the Western world during the period of time. Several million of them came as refugees by the permission and through the subterfuge that was engaged in by the Roosevelt family, and great numbers of them are here beyond all normal extension of immigration visas and emergency measures. The fact remains there was only 600,000 Jews that were in Germany at the beginning and before the start of World War II, and surely there wasn't any more after it was started, and by no stretch of the imagination could they have been assassinated, murdered, or put to death in the gas chambers. The facts that were brought out by General Patton and by a great number of others of the military who occupied Europe proved this, and Most of those that were in camps and in prisons belonged there because in a great number of cases they were Soviet agents or they were criminals or they were those who had committed acts of treason against the state. I think it's high time that we put in prison in these United States every enemy of our society who's committing treason against the Western world and our Christian civilization by doing work as spies and agents for the Soviet Union, for giving away atomic secrets and nuclear secrets, and for seeking to betray us by all the strange strategies in which they would surrender this great nation into the hands of the Reds and not even make resistance. I think if we ever locked up all the Red agents that are today threatening the security of our nation, we'd leave the president almost without a cabinet. In fact, there are none who knew Colonel Eichmann who believed that this is Colonel Eichmann. It has long been known that if it had been Colonel Eichmann and they sentenced him to death, he wouldn't have been groveling like a whipped pup. He would have turned and said, "Heil Hitler," and we'll let it ride at that. Because there is no doubt that he was firmly convinced, as were most of those that served him, that their breaking of the power of the Jew in Germany was a part of the preservation of their society. And I want you to know that one of the peculiar things that is never discussed is how they went about doing it. They moved the power of jewelry out of the finance of the German state. That was the great crime against jewelry. That's how Jews were put to death, by taking away their power to live as parasites in the state by controlling the economy of the nation. And I'm going to tell you, one of the things that's going to remove more of them from your land, and you're going to hear all over the world about how they were burned in your ovens, is when you take back in these United States your economy, when you get a United States bank and a proper economic system in these United States that they do not control, when that comes, they will leave America in a great exodus. They will migrate out at great speed, and America will lose the curse of the presence of Antichrist, and you can breathe fresh air of a new day. Every once in a while, I find some timid soul who said, "Dr. Swift, the church is not supposed to discuss these things." My friends, I want you to know that this book, which is filled with prophecy and the position of Jesus Christ, is the oracle of the church. I want you to know if the position you hold is a position that's one with Jesus Christ, you have a right to maintain it. And if there's any one position Christ maintained from the beginning of his ministry to the fulfillment of the book of Revelation, it was an inaudible opposition that at no time was in any way lessened to keep the power of Jewry out of control of his kingdom and by pointing his finger at it to awaken up the people concerning this. We have mentioned this before and we mention this again. When Jesus was witnessing and was going through the experience of the attempt upon the part of Jewry to liquidate and crucify, and when his very disciples would have drawn the sword in his defense, as did Peter, and Jesus told him to put up the sword that he could bring in the legions of angels, there were other things which were added to the discussion according to the narrative concerning all the facts that happened in the discussions between Christ and his disciples, even as he stood before the steps of the temple when the people on Palm Sunday wanted a crowning king. And Jesus refused to accept the crown, but took the chalice, the symbol of the sacrifice, and said, "The day will come when I will take the crown. The day will come when my servants will fight, and the kingdom of God will not be given to the Jews." When Jesus talked to Pontius Pilate, the governor of Jerusalem, there was no hostility between Christ and Pilate. Pilate was a man of your race, a Basque, born in Spain, married to Caesar's daughter, and educated in the universities of Britain. Strangely enough, he was a member of the Masonos, and he belonged to one of the great mystery schools of your race, and he knew the passwords, and he knew the symbols, and when he discussed with Jesus some of the most important things during the conditions of his trial, and Jesus told him, "You don't have any power over me, but I give it unto you." And when he did not know what to do with Christ, when his enemies were wanting crucified, and he did not want a miscarriage of justice, and he didn't want to involve Rome in this Jewish design for revenge, and Jesus said, "You do as it's written." He says, "How is it written?" And Jesus said, "It's written, I'm going to be crucified, but I want you to know the day is going to come when my servants are going to fight and the kingdom is not going to be given to the Jews." Now, we have arrived at a climactic period in Bible prophecy. The Jews, by violence and conspiracy, have been moving against the kingdom of God and against Christian civilization since the very days of the beginning of the church. They have previously been engaged in their manipulation of nations and peoples and powers against your race all during the background of Old Testament history. In fact, in ancient Babylon, they dominated and controlled Babylon, while Judah and Benjamin, which were two tribes of your own race, from whom the Germanic peoples and the Norman peoples have come were in bondage. The fact is that their manipulation of economy stretched out over all the world, and every pagan religion on the face of the earth, whether it be inside of India or in the upper steppes of Asia, or whether it be in the witch doctors' tents and the jungle huts of Africa, the Luciferian household, or the descendants of this household of Lucifer, who Christ so quickly identifies with the Jews of Jerusalem and the Canaanite line as well, all of them have been managed, directed, and started by these evil forces. There are more Asiatic Jews in the pagan temples of Asia today than are the constituents of these temples, Asiatics, without this Jewish blood. This blood does not come, nor has this origin come out of the house of Abraham, nor are the descendants of Judah, which today in this Asiatic field create their symbols. The ancient empires of China have, in their discussion concerning the manipulation of the great wealth of currency that existed in their land and its coinage, cited that from the temples of various religions and even the earliest religions of the Asian dragon temples, that the priests of the temples had declaimed that the dragon power gave them a right to coin and to handle the monies of the realm, and that the emperor, because the emperors of ancient China were to recognize the dragon throne, would receive a rightful share of all the Luciferian or dragon money. So the Jews had made a deal with ancient emperors that he'd get a cut out of everything they had, but that they had a right to all the manipulation and all the control of all the economy inside of the ancient Chinas. And they only permitted such monetary empires of ruling mandarins and various of the ruling warlords of ancient China throughout all of its history to hold their sway as long as they were under the minion of their thumb. We can understand what was meant when Baron Rothschild said, give me the power to coin the money and to control it in any land, and we do not care who makes its laws. These are also true concerning the backgrounds of India with its ancient Kali temples, whose complete priesthood is virtually that of ancient Asiatic Jews of the type and group which had settled in India in the past. All the pagan religions of the world are woven into a symbol which is quite interesting. It's the fig leaf. Every pagan temple in the world has fig leaves woven into the frieze around the top of the temple. The pagan temples, with their grotesque pictures and their strange and evil caricatures that we find in India, together with the temples in Tibet and the temples of red companies of red Buddhism, all of them have that temple frieze of the fig leaf. And you can go out here and you can go out on Beverly or to any of the synagogues of your city, and you'll see that fig leaf woven into any ornamentation upon anything that they hold. That's one of the reasons why, again, that the Scripture still keeps the identification, and it's why Christ referred to them as the fig tree, cursed that fig tree, and said it would never bear any eatable fruit. They knew what he was talking about when the temple priests in that time turned to Christ and sought how they might kill him when they saw the cursed fig tree dry up and knew it was a symbol of their own power, and they plotted together, the Scripture says, how they might put him to death, because they knew that this miracle and this parable was spoken against them. I want you to recognize that biblically then Christ identified that with all of the evil socially and politically that had existed among the race of which you were a part. The book of Revelation contains and is the revelation as God gave it to John to give to the churches. We proclaim that it is the right of the church to declare what is in the content of the book of Revelation, and under the same pattern of inspiration to discuss its impact upon men, nations, and society. And the semantics of the mystery from the days of Babylon to your time of the evil powers which are the enemies of your civilization is called Babylon. Now we well know the ancient city of Babylon swept out of power when the Medo-Persians invaded it, and even later when, after the rise of Alexander the Great, Medo-Persia had dwindled in the world picture, and again Babylon was invaded, and what was left of it under Alexander the Great. The powers of organized Jewry tried to do business with Alexander the Great, and during those days left the citadels they still had remaining there and went to the Isle of Pergamos, which, according to the book of Revelation, was where organized Jewry had its headquarters at the time of the ministry of Christ, even though they ruled influence in the Temple of Jerusalem and they had economic power over the Roman Empire, who they controlled by the manipulation of its gold. And you can get history of the Roman Empire by Gibbons, and you'll discover how the manipulation of this gold and the putting forward of the same fallacious policies of socialism which Karl Marx put together in a book was applied ages before the coming of Marx upon the Roman Empire. These are a part of the manipulations of these people who today have brought the whole communist revolution into existence and who are seeking to destroy and cripple Western Christian civilization by their manipulation of the power of their purse and by the use of this political weapon of world communism. In fact, we can establish this very clearly for you, because when Jesus established the connection of these people, who he called the Jews of Jerusalem and said had no partner or lot either in his ministry, were not a part of his kingdom, and were not the house of Israel, and exposed them as such clearly in the book of John. There is no one who can read the book of John and read it all and read it thoroughly verse by verse that will not see that Jesus made it clear these people were not the Israel of the Bible, and this Israelite which is coming to being down in Palestine has nothing to do with really the background of Abraham or his covenants. It's strictly a world con game which they are seeking to put over on Christians everywhere to get people to support the very program of the downfall of their society. I want to say that in the instance of this, we are told that Mystery Babylon is the city of the powers of evil. It is the city which Christ identifies with these evil ones. And when he in Matthew tells us that organized Jewry were guilty of the blood of all the righteous slain that were slain upon the earth, and Jesus points it out and he said, it's you. And you may say that you wouldn't have killed the prophets and you would not have done these things. But he said, I want you to know that when you say you wouldn't do what your fathers did, you just prove you're the children of your fathers, and you're going to measure right up to the stature of your fathers. You're going to be just like they are. Now, Jesus wasn't talking out of ignorance. You couldn't call what Jesus said prejudice. This was the embodied God, whose birth we are recognizing at this season. He spake with a knowledge of which we would do well to give heed to and to keep constantly in the background of our thinking if we wish to carry out the objectives of his kingdom. And I can be sure to tell you that you are going to carry them out, and that we're not on the last days of these United States, even if the destroyers think so. We're on the day when these United States are going to get a great new birth of spiritual light, and God will light the altars of freedom with a flame and a fire that will never go out. And when that light illuminates this land, the enemies fleeing that brilliance will leave America, and it will be a great day for our society. So Jesus points this out, and he refers to this evil power as Mystery Babylon. Now, there are three things about Mystery Babylon. Mystery Babylon's great weapon is economic. So this economic Babylon is one of the phases of Mystery Babylon. It's control over economy and money. No wonder the scripture says the love of money is the root of all evil. It didn't say money was the root of evil. It didn't say that money itself was wrong, but it says the love of money was the root of all evil. Now, when money is made a commodity rather than a medium to move goods, it, my friends, becomes the very secret of the way the enemy produces this evil. And by his manipulation of our economy and the use of unjust sets of weights and measures and the creating of a policy which the scripture refers to as usury, unprecedented taxation leveled upon the use of money by their strategy, coupled together with what they call interest. Someone said, don't you think that we should have interest? Well, it depends on how you compute it. It depends on whether the interest is actually a repayment of what has been created by the money being put to work, or whether it happens to be that which is extorted out of somebody's misfortune and applied with tremendous amounts of increase being made upon the very use of money itself for no other reason than for money's debt. There is no doubt that there is nothing more evil in the world tonight than the manipulation and the creation of an artificial scarcity of money by the enemies of your kingdom, who throw the world into misery and depressions at their will. There is no possibility of a depression in a nation like these United States, with its tremendous mineral wealth, its great agricultural capacity, its great technological ability, and its tremendous labor market. With this initiative, with this intelligence, with this vision, with all the technology of our laboratories, the raw materials of our earth, and the demand of its people, a nation like this can never have a depression unless it's falsely created by the money masters of Mystery Babylon. Now, we may have been taken by surprise with the last Great Depression, but I'm going to tell you, you're never going to be taken by surprise with another. The next depression, if they try to bring it, and they do intend to and are trying to bring it now upon these United States, is not going to be accepted by the American people, because they're going to know who did it from the least to the greatest, and the best place for an enemy of your society to be is outside of these United States when this nation wakes up. Jesus calls it Mystery Babylon. It has three phases: economic, then it has a political phase. Babylon's political phase is to harness masses of peoples throughout the world to its military power, while it puts over the type of political concept that takes away the control of anything a man has earned as property from him. Puts it in the hands of a super bureaucracy which controls and harvests all goods and reduces men to a status of slavery. They have attempted to accomplish this under a dozen different names. The use of the word communism or the creation of the Soviet is just another apex of this goal, and the Bible has discussed it. The third and one of the most dreadful positions of Babylon is religious Babylon. This is built upon the establishment of all false concepts of religion and an utter repudiation of the true monotheism of the one true and the living God, the eternal Yahweh, revealed as Yahshua or Jesus the Christ. Their warfare against this concept of God and their design to mongrelize all religions and to reduce all people into a mongrelized society, and one in which the social impact of their religious evil will be brought out. Mystery Babylon the Great has sowed almost all the error that has ever been sowed into the Christian religion, and that was by their penetration and moving in on the blind side. And this week in sight affected not only the nations and all of the heart of Christendom, but affected the church from Rome to Protestantism and to the abbotries of England. Always the enemy moves in and suddenly becomes one who wants to bestow some of his wealth upon the institutions, and then becomes a communicant and a convert, and before long he's moving into the job of bishop or a presiding position of authority in the church, which he secured by the power of his purse. And in many instances, the church has been naive to believe that this was a spiritual desire, and they let the serpents, which Christ identifies as a serpent race, get into contemn its doctrines, change the great truths of its faith, and to bring in whole fallacies inside the structure of the church. Their design being to seek to destroy that church. They have implemented their economic design as well as their political design by seeking to negate the power of the church and to use it to accomplish their evil objectives. I have whole shelves of books in my library which are written and published by Jewish publication societies, by institutions and organizations all over of their own. They're not written for our consumption. They were written for their consumption. They boast about the heroes of their race, who they saved virtually and almost removed the power of the Christian faith by mixing their own concepts and the ideas which they have developed for the religions of the world into it. They boast about their invasion of your society. I don't believe now or ever a Jew should ever be admitted to any Christian church at any time. So to Dr. Swift, that's not Christian. Well, I think it is. The Apostle Paul said they're against God and contrary to all men. And if you take somebody against God and contrary to all men in the church, you're silly. Jesus looks at them and said, I've chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil. He was talking about Judas Iscariot, the only Jew among his disciples. And then Jesus only let him be there to finish the work that Judas was going to do, which was his betrayal. And Jesus identified him as a devil and never classified him as a disciple. Said, I've chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil. And that's the last verse of the 6th chapter of the book of John. And after that, Jesus walked in Galilee. He couldn't even walk among Jewry, because having identified the wrongful agent, he had to leave that area if he wanted to carry out the rest of his ministry, because they sought to kill him. And that's the records of the opening passages of the 7th chapter of John, the last verse of the 6th chapter. The fact is that these are truths very vital to the preservation of your society. That's one of the reasons when we turn over here in the book of Revelation concerning the operations of this mysterious world order of Babylon as an opposition to God's kingdom and the Christian nations, God has unveiled in this 18th chapter of the book of Revelation the control over every labor union we have in the United States. He said the control over all unionism and over all crafts and over all workers was in the hands of Mystery Babylon, who behind the scenes pulled the strings and used the lust for power and their appeal to the forces which they wish to control for their domination of men. And God said it would have tremendous power all over the world in this climactic hour, but one of these days it won't have any more power, and the man will have a right to work without having to pay tribute to some labor pirate for the right to work. You may say, I believe in the gains of organized labor. I believe in the gains of righteousness and justice and due recompense for a man's work. But I want you to know that organized labor were led into deeper and deeper designs by those that were behind it to not only give them gain, but that wasn't the objective of those that organized them. The objective was to gain complete control over American economy, and we passed the gain, and we're on the loss side now, and we're going at the loss rate very fast. You know, you do not count a labor gain just an increase in pay. where Mystery Babylon controls and has manipulated the conditions that cause the great taxation systems of the world. They have been behind the preparation of almost all of the tax programs here and in other nations, and that's one of the things that you wanted liberty from, oppressive taxation. Today, these rascals design and have fixed the processes of taxation. That has so reached the point that every time labor makes a raise today, it loses money because the tax bites so high and the cost of the goods they produce go up, and the result is prices go up, taxes come out, and the gain is a loss. There are some strange things here as God talks about Mystery Babylon, how they have tried to buy and sell the souls of men. They have been behind all the brothels, all the vicious dope rings, and all of the crime rings of the nation. And I want you to know tonight that organized jewelry controls the dope racket. It has controlled organized crime. We have had the Mickey Cohens and the Arnold Rothsteins and the Jewish Italian Al Capone who came out of the same Sicilian Jewish background. The fact remains that we could name gangsters by the hundreds across America today, and the organized crime and the organized crime leaders which met in New York State last year to decide on how they were going to carry out their activities were largely dominated and controlled by Sicilian Jews who have been running the crime element throughout the world. Let me tell you that when you get into the pattern of the book of Revelation, you'll discover that evil, violence, crime, economic conspiracy, and the building of a world order of Antichrist to rule the world is the work of these people. You say, well, how do you know that's who it is? Because Jesus in the book of Matthew told us who was going to be responsible and who was behind the blood and death of all of the children of his kingdom in their world conspiracy. And now in the 18th chapter of the book of Revelation, in which he brings Antichrist to rule the world is the work of these people. You say, well, how do you know that's who it is? Because Jesus in the book of Matthew told us who was going to be responsible and who was behind the blood and death of all of the children of his kingdom in their world conspiracy. And now in the 18th chapter of the book of Revelation, in which he brings out these facts, he tells us that that this mystery Babylon, they were, and as they dwelt in your nations, they were great merchants. And they were supposedly important men in the earth, and by their sorceries they had all the nations deceived, and through the United Nations all nations have been deceived. And in this mystery Babylon and this group of strange international merchants, in her is found the blood, the Bible says, of the prophets, of the saints, that's the bleeding offspring of God, and of all that have been slain upon the earth. Now hear this, if you think I'm too extreme, then you go out and say he's rightly extreme on the basis of what the Bible had to say. Now, you may disagree with this book, but you're going to find it's more right than anything that you get out of the State Department. It says here, in this mystery Babylon and in this group of international merchants who deceived all the nations and ran this thing, in her is the blood of all the prophets, of all the believing offspring of God who have been slain in all the wars and conspiracies on the face of the earth. Now, when you get something as clear as that, someone says, I just can never find out what the Bible's talking about. Well, they better get the key then. They better find out who's who in the Bible. It's more important for you to know who's who if you're going to carry out the objective as the children of God to do the work of His kingdom than, my friends, it is for you to learn a lot of things today that they think is important for you to know in order that you're acceptable upon the standard of the world level. Brilliant young man said to me, you know, I am convinced that these are great truths, but when you try to tell them to people, they say you're antisocial. Well, who established the standard of what's right and what's wrong, and what's the standard for society, and who creates the study of humanities today? The power of the world order, which is led by Mystery Babylon. Now, this nation's greatness has come through the vision that God has developed in those men of your race to whom He gave vision and drive. You're great scientists. Your inventors, your technological achievements are all the byproduct of what the Spirit of God has stimulated in you. And this is the blessing of a people who recognize that the Lord is God and serve and recognize His embodied manifestation as Jesus Christ. He has promised that to such people He will give them blessing, and He'll lift these nations and make half nations out of them, and you are half nations tonight. Your enemy wants to destroy all that. It is more important for you to build a strong America and for you to build a Christian America, and for you to have happiness and power to carry out the will of God in the earth, than to have all the pagans and all the Hottentots and all the euthons and all the hypocritical gurus in the world saying you're a great people. Can you find any earthly good anyhow in having Mr. Nuru say that you're great? Do you see any particular advantage whatsoever in pleasing Mr. Khrushchev? I have some good news for you, by the way. Remember what we told you last year about this being a fateful year anyhow for removing people. I have an article here from Paris. Newspaper of France, saw here yesterday, has quoted the newspapers of Russia as well, in the article by Michael Gorday. This is what it says. It says, Khrushchev, in making his speech the other day, stopped several times last Saturday. He was at loss to pick up the thread of his thoughts, and he was stammering, and he had difficulty in finishing his sentences. In fact, he couldn't even pronounce some of the words, and his tongue was seen to be quite thick. The story added that at the end of the 55-minute speech before the World Federation of Soviet Trade Unions, Khrushchev was covered with perspiration and was completely exhausted. When questioned about this, the doctors in the Soviet Union said that Khrushchev had just suffered a slight stroke. Someone said, well, is that a good thing? That's a good thing. If one after another all the leaders suffer stroke, that's good. You know, there's a lot of men in high courts in this land. If suddenly they started to suffer strokes one after another, you might not find many people wanting that job. I'm going to tell you this. We told you at the beginning of the year that there were going to be some important personages that God was going to snap out of the world picture and they'd be for your good. Well, one of those personages out of the way was Dag Hammarskjöld. Now, this might startle some of you, but let me tell you this about Dag Hammarskjöld. Dag Hammarskjöld was the Soviet man in the United Nations to act as a bellwether to take us all down the road to betrayal. Any silly person that wants to contribute to his monument is very foolish, I can assure you. In fact, I'm going to show you how closely you were saved. You remember last September, I believe it was the 17th of September, was a Sunday night. We notified you that night that every intelligent Christian should go home and he should wire the Senate and the House not to pass a certain measure before the Senate and the House, if you as intelligent Christians wanted to save your country, that measure called for the establishment of a peace organization or a peace commission which had absolute power over your armaments. It was not answerable to you, the people of the Congress, but to the President of the United States. And it had the authority to set up a commission that would work under and within and control of the United Nations. It would continually be working closely aligned with the Soviet Russia and its war machine. It had the power to disarm or close down any of your military factories. It had the power to disarm every private citizen of his own weapons or that which he might have guaranteed to him under the Constitution. It had the power, not rightly so, but that's what the bill contained. That's what it was going to do. And it had power to confiscate monies, tap your treasury, take over all the foundations and funds, and spend this money on carrying out its objectives. You know who was the fathering influence to see that this passed and who was driving and pressuring it? It was Dag Hammarskjöld. That night, as this figurehead in the dictatorship of the United Nations program of Antichrist, a man whose powerful influence was manipulating many socialist and red programs out of the World Monetary Fund, in which you were the major investor, went down to intimidate Moshe Tshombe and his plane crashed in the Congo, and you can thank God that another one of the manipulators of Mystery Babylon, a tool in their hands, had died. Because I'll tell you what happened. Instantly, all the pressure was off to carry out the objectives of that disarmament program that had power over you. And when they got through with it, without Dag Hammarskjöld, the spearhead, the thing folded up, and there was introduced a different kind of a proposition, and that proposition would not recognize the authority of the United Nations and sovereignty over us at all, as it related to disarmament, and at no time did it create the kind of authority that bypassed the Congress of the United States. And they may try to do it again when the Congress convenes, but that was defeated, and that great threat to the maintenance of your right to be free and your own military to have the weapons they needed ended, and ended quickly with the death of Dag Hammarskjöld. That's only one of those situations. For there was designed and was under design, and that design has came to our attention, and it is not being prodded as fast as they thought they were going to be able to prod it. The world economic design of Mystery Babylon was to level attack against every citizen of every member nation of the United Nations by a direct tax that could be collected through their bureaus of revenue, or it could be collected by a United Nations agency, in which they were going to levy a 10% or greater tax on every citizen of every member nation of the world. This would be a direct levy on your income, and you would not be able to buy or sell or do any business in America if you hadn't paid that tax up for that given month. That's exactly what the Scripture warns you about. The beast system, with its power to buy and sell, is designed to control the world through its manipulation of economy. Now, that's their strategy, that's their design. And you wouldn't be able to eat, you wouldn't be able to buy, you wouldn't be able to sell, except you had paid your contribution to this Babylonian world order of absolute infamy. The result is that that was another DAG idea. And that went along with this vast and deep-rooted conspiracy. You say, well, we could get around that. You might be able to get around it, but you wouldn't be able to buy any bread or any clothes or any gasoline if that thing had gone into effect. And it could have been put into effect by a decision of the president or by an executive agreement, and it could have been passed by a liberal Senate that would ratify that kind of a situation, because we have a Senate that's so far to the left that the hope of the salvation of our country still lies in the Congress of the United States. Now, we are on the edge of a great world economic upheaval. The conspirators threw you off the gold standard, and we have discussed that, and they were manipulating the economic policies of the Roosevelt administration. Mr. Roosevelt didn't know anything about the monetary manipulation. He only took orders and followed the directions of the brain trusters around him. And having demonetized gold by taking honest coinage out of circulation, and then at the same time devaluating the dollar by inflating the actual basis of exchange by which the rate of dollars and gold weight was to be determined, we went on a silver standard. And now, whether he knows anything about it, and I'm not too sure Mr. Kennedy knows too much about anything. He says some forceful things in some speeches, and sometimes he gets an awful vacant look about his face. But I want you to know that he's suddenly meeting the economic problems of our nation by answering the call of the international money changer again. This time they want all our silver. That's what's behind economic fluctuations in the market and the world situation, is the uncertainty of American money. Now, you have before you some prophetic facts. One of them, that if you're going to get free from the control of economic bondage in your nation, the economic power of Mystery Babylon has got to crumble and fall absolutely and completely. Now, this sometimes comes as a shock to people of wealth. It comes as a shock to people with moderate circumstances, they say. If our economic system falls and crumbles, what's going to happen to us? Who said anything about your economic system? I said the economic system of Mystery Babylon the Great. I want you to know that when the economy of Mystery Babylon the Great falls, the power of world Jewry over your economy is gone forever. Someone said it can't be done, yes? If the Congress of the United States gathered and passed a resolution to immediately establish a United States Bank to fix the permanency of the weight of your coinage and to issue the currency as United States notes against the production of your society, and to back that money with the high percentage of your created wealth, and to redeem the money extended out of the profits which are created by the production and the use of such money as it moved goods. Let me tell you that the moment they operated this interest-free, that all of the monetary system of Mystery Babylon would crumble and fall, and every money lender and all that are associated with this would leave the United States, and they'd go down to Rio de Janeiro, and they'd go down to the areas of South America and Mexico, and they'd tell about the terrible pogroms that were being held in the United States and the secret gas ovens that you'd set up. You say, well, why is it that there has not been put into effect a long time ago a United States money system, a constitutional system? Because Mystery Babylon has tried to keep money a mysterious subject that you wouldn't understand. They have been trying to let you think that nobody knows how to handle it. Mr. Kennedy seems to be sold by this strange policy as well, because he tells us that we're going to have to turn over to the Federal Reserve System all the handling of our monies, and we're going to do business with gold, only it's going to be gold and paper. And they would continue with their excessive and extortionist profits to make 60 cents out of every extended dollar. One of the great mysteries concerning this hour is that inside the scriptures, God Almighty tells us about this impending catastrophe to the Babylonian system. I turn inside the 16th chapter of the book of Revelations, and it said, the whole world is in crisis. There are voices crying war, problems, trouble, voices and thundering. There is the sign of great political movements and the riding of empires, and then the lightnings as they commence to start their precipitation of the period. And the thunder and the lightnings are only a small part of the storm. It says here then, there was a great earthquake, such as there has not been since there were men upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And it said that great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God. Now, when it talked about this earthquake, it's not altogether dealing with the seismographic disturbances and another phase of prophecy that relate to events that will take place on the earth. When it talks about the city Babylon divided into three parts, that's political, religious, and economic, and said that great Babylon suddenly comes into remembrance as her mysterious influence over the cities of the world fall. If you turn on for the other phases of the revelation of this, it's God Almighty says that Babylon is like a great millstone, which he suddenly picks up and drops among the seas of the peoples, and it's swallowed up and no more has its power. The people are that raging sea, and the people as that sea are going to swallow up Babylon all at once. You know, some countries started to swallow up Babylon prematurely. They outlawed its political control, they outlawed its economic control, and then Babylon went out to gather all the world to destroy the areas that put them out of business. Now, I'm going to tell you something that some people won't like to hear, because you have been taught to hate the enemies of your enemy. You have been taught to hate the enemies of your enemy. And Mystery Babylon gets an American or an Englishman fighting a German, and a German fighting an Austrian or fighting an Englishman. And he does this by manipulating, and they sat back and made profits out of it on both sides. You know, you turn over to James, and he said, go now, some of you are rich men, go now, weep and howl, because your miseries have come upon you. Tells about even the cankering of gold, the rusting of their monetary investments. You say, how can you canker gold? Well, that's quite a story. I saw gold canker under my very eyes, under the lenses of a microscope, and dissolve and become virtually as nothing. Saw that happen one time. So there is something that can happen right now in the field of substance that can make even gold supply dwindle away. But there's more than that in this. God said, now, go now, ye rich men, you weep and howl, your miseries have come upon you. Now, he's not talking about some bona fide member of your race who by his industry and thrift has built up his farm or his business or established a factory where he rightly employs his people. He carries this out to point out which rich men he's talking about. He's talking about the rich men of Mystery Babylon who heaped up their profits, James said, during the days of battle and war. I think I can point out a few of these people who borrowed all their money out of your treasury, and you couldn't get a loan like that to push some great war industry. Even their ships used to split in half and sink in the water, but that didn't make any difference. We give them steel plants, we give them the money to buy more factories, and we take their debts and we cover them up with so much money that nobody knows how much is in circulation or who owes what, and these write an unlimited check against your treasury. These are some of those rich men of Mystery Babylon that made their profits on you during the war, and they don't care how many of your race they kill if it puts them in power. And the main thing anyhow is to get Christian to kill Christian until their empire of evil can overwhelm you. They had designed that you'd be so weak at the end of World War II and Germany would be so devastated that they would be able to take over the Christian world, and this was a Soviet design and game. In fact, they even drew up such Yalta and Potsdam documents as to actually seat them by permission inside the very heart of Europe, where they would be adjacent to you and to carry out the objectives in Europe, and they designed that they were going to accomplish your overthrow. You came out of it stronger than they anticipated. The great resiliency of your ability to come back, hear it in Europe likewise, has been one of the great mysteries before your enemy, and they know today that prosperous Western Europe is a surprise to them. They decided to get at your political heart center, so they started the spawn of a communist revolution in your backyard, and you didn't have leadership with vision enough to stamp it out, and right now you've got a boiling cesspool of communist intrigue with their missiles aimed at you right off the coast of Florida. Mystery Babylon. Now God said there's going to be a great earthquake that's going to affect, of course, Mystery Babylon. Now apart from real seismic disturbances, this is a great economic upset to the enemy. This economic upset to the enemy means that an awakening is going to take place among your race and among the businessmen of your race, and they are not going to let Babylon get away with it anymore. You know, these people have had economic obligations to go to these people to find finance for the objectives of carrying out their own business. I happen to know that leaders among your National Association of Manufacturers and other organizations know tonight that they do not have to depend upon the money system of Babylon. They can have an American money system that has honor and integrity that will back American production, and they don't have to go and ask anybody for anything. It will be the policy of the nation to create wealth and use money to do it. What will it be? Selfishness. The achievement of industry and the liberation of industry from the parasite. One businessman of great responsibility said to me, "Dr. Swift, if we could lift the burden of usury that takes such a great bite out of every dollar, and we could reduce the oppressive taxation that this international conspiracy takes away from us, the purchasing power of our labor and our ability to do and develop more for them because we have more to do it with would be unprecedented." He said, before we are through, better than 50% of everything we produce has been bled off by the parasites. Now, I want you to know that a lot of people were worried about their dollar. They say, well, now what can happen to this dollar? A lot of things can happen to that dollar if the people of the United States let it. But if you call on your Congress and your patriots call on the delivery of Mystery Babylon and the truth is pointed out, you're going to strengthen it. After all, you've already learned the president, if he carried out his objectives with a new Congress, could devaluate every dollar in the United States by 30%. If silver goes to $1.29 and he knocks the content of silver out of your dollar by weight, he has destroyed that much purchasing power by a single act. You say, well, it's a good investment to buy property. Property has always been considered a good investment, but under the unprecedented taxation of your time, even that investment can be gradually eaten into by the power of the invisible force to increase taxation and gradually swallow up your thrift and savings. Was a time when a family could plan on their thrift and their investment, and they built as fine a home as they could build, and they intended to retire in this home, and this would be the homestead around which their family and their children would gather, and they would have a certain amount of security, and they wouldn't need as much income in their old age because they owned their home. But nowadays you discover you need more income than you had before because the taxes go up so high in your home that you have to make more money than you ever made before to live in your own house if you pay the taxes. Unless you've moved way out to the mountains somewhere, and you have had to change the pattern of your living. Mystery Babylon has designed all of this. Now we are faced with the fact that there are many things that are good. We know investment in American industry. We know investment in things which are out of debt and things which are producing are good. We know you can hedge your money and you can surpass all upsets and all these catastrophes. If you can invest in something that earns the same medium of exchange that men are using, that's true. But if you want to implement real security, don't you be sure that anything you do is going to hedge and get around these rascals. And it certainly is not going to do it for the whole 160 million peoples in your nation that are not a part of the conspiracy. The only way it can be done will be what God cites, will be a great upheaval, a great Christian awakening, a great repudiation of Mystery Babylon until they flee. And it will be accomplished when you set yourselves free from their economic conspiracy. It's time that everybody started to learn all they can learn about money. It's time they started to learn how it was being manipulated and what the Constitution says about it. Why does Mr. Kennedy want the Congress to surrender their coinage rights? Why does he want them to give up more of their power over this thing? Every intelligent Christian ought to inform his congressman, we want you to hang on to the power that we have given you to determine just sets of values and just balances for our money. For if ever there was a contract that should be kept with honor, it is a contract between people and people and their government on the money which their government has been commissioned to issue. Now we are faced with the coming economic upheaval. We have told you that Mr. Kennedy says that he wants the power to throw out all tariffs. He wants to be able for us to join the common market of Europe. Now we think that probably one of the smartest things that the nations, the Christian nations of Europe ever did is when they formed a common market for their own economic enhancement and development so that they might trade and develop and become strong among themselves in Europe to block the communist conspiracy of cheap slave labor, and they threw up a high tariff against communist-produced goods. They're also aware that they want that market for themselves, and they don't even want you cutting into it, so they threw a wall up a tariff against your goods. Now, we need to say tonight that you don't have to accept the principle that we've got to throw down all tariff between they and they. Because if you did throw down your tariff and they theirs, you still couldn't sell anything very much to Europe because they can produce it for less cost than you do, but they still flood your country with those goods unless you had a tariff wall. As long as you've got Babylon controlling labor. You can't suppress and compress wages. Babylon wants to knock them down. It gives you a depression. But we're not going to take another depression with men out of work and with a catastrophe, because when they start that, we're going to stir America from one end to the other until they know who's doing it. And so we are faced with this fact that the design of the internationalists is to try to get control of the industries and the markets. And that design wants to be able to destroy America's ability to operate its industry. It wants to buy up every American industry for a fraction of its values. It wants to see your peoples out of work and crying for the virtual impact of a socialist revolution. Then Mr. Babylon intends on operating the development of finding an outlet for your measure. A war which will devastate the industries of Europe is in their plan. And then they anticipate that they are going to make it again. Now, Babylon has its plan. The Scripture tells you what they plan to do. God Almighty said, all right now. They are afraid of the awakening, and many of them are moving out. And now they would like to bring destruction on you as a nation unless they can get your capitulation. Almighty God said that they're not going to accomplish this objective. One of the strange things is some of the largest insurance companies in America are in the hands of Mystery Babylon. And they will, in the instances of it, they continue, of course, to extract the money, but they know they can't make a payoff if a great catastrophe comes. One Jewish financial firm which operates in the fields of vast insurance says, if we have a catastrophe and it wipes out most of the insurable risks which we have, we are not responsible to pay under this damage, and we have suddenly been released from our obligation and we have made nothing but profit. Is that insurance? No, my friends, again, another catastrophe which God has pointed out is going to be His retaliation of judgment on the enemies of your kingdom. And that's going to affect physical transitions, things that are going to happen that the Bible talks about. We do not have the time to go into all the phases of this. Time flits so fast when one discovers the relationship of the Bible and what it contains to these events. He said, for you to come out of her, my people, not to be partaker of her evil deeds, not to help implement our policies, not to finance our great conspiracies, not to commit the murder that's been committed in Katanga province. And as we said this afternoon, as God calls on every man to deliver his soul, the way you deliver your soul is to denounce that conspiracy and that evil and that machine gunning and bombing of a people that want to be free instead of communists that's happened in Katanga. Let me tell you that America must extricate herself from this. $100 million in debt, and America is the only country that promised to help pick up the tab for the Congo. You know, every American citizen ought to refuse to permit any of the money that he pays in taxes to the federal government to be squandered on a massacre like Katanga. It's a violation of our Christianity. It's a violation of our constitutional rights. You say, well, I hope God don't hold me responsible. God never holds you responsible if you've got intelligence enough to speak out. He said, deliver your soul. Remember that. Deliver your soul. Thank God there are men like Senator Eastland and Senator Dodd and others who've been delivering their soul. Before we get through many days, you're going to discover that the Gerald Smiths and the Rankins and the Senator McCarthy's and the people who've been delivering their soul are worth more to America than all the mealy-mouthed politicians and all the strategy which today they are seeking to develop, which is accomplishing nothing, not producing peace and ending in violence. You know, we've always poked a lot of ridicule upon this pagan Nulu. Remember what we said about this hypocrite telling us to come over and what we were to do? We weren't engaged in war, and it was immoral to fight a war, and we better negotiate with the enemy but never fight a war? Well, Mr. Nulu, his armies tonight invaded the Portuguese colony of Goa, which is about the size of Rhode Island, and invaded it with 30,000 shock troops and with airplanes, dive bombers, and is bombing the people of Goa. And it's two other little colonies. One's Dambu and the other is Du. Now they are attacking these tonight. And Mr. Kennedy and your representative Galbraith pleaded with Mr. Nulu not to start another war. And he said, we're going to have these colonies. We're going to throw the Portuguese out. You know, the Portuguese went in there before Columbus discovered America. They went in and they were virtually jungle conditions at that time. They have developed what is there. Some of the most prosperous colonies that exist anywhere in the areas of the subcontinent. Now let me tell you this, on tonight, the hypocrisy of all your neutrals who don't want you to fight against the Soviet, but now use ruthless tyranny like you are involved in with the United Nations at Katanga against Goa. And you know, they've got a bunch of silly people who are going to say, oh, that's good, overthrow all colonies. Well, those outposts are white Christian outposts. You see what I mean when I tell you that the world is hearing the violence and the thunderings and the lightnings? You're on the edge of tremendous events we're going to discuss. We haven't the time to cover tonight. But I want you to know the economic earthquake is not going to be a catastrophe to you. It's going to be your deliverance. Don't you pray to keep everything in its present status quo. The more quickly that you get your industries and your nation in your hands, and you get your money out of their hands, the more quickly you're going to have salvation, and they can cry oi, oi, oi to the heavens. God said that's what they'll do. Now, people may not like it, but it's thus saith the Lord. They'll have to revise the Constitution to turn it off, and then it won't stop. So we call your attention to this phase of these things tonight. Pray, think, work. And then I'm going to assure you that God says, I'm going to bring you through. But just remember that instead of suppression, we're going to have to remake America one of these days if leadership does not wake up.
Thank you.